we're taking a one Sunday break from the book of Acts, and since we're voting for different offices of government in 9 days, and not least of which is the President of the United States, I thought it would be good to look in God's Word and say, Lord, please help us as we have an opportunity to serve and to see which one of God's servants will be elected and how that can help us. And I was wondering if Jesus and his followers ever got a chance to vote for the mayor of Galilee, or certainly wouldn't have a chance to vote for Caesar he was in. And they served well in spite of that. But at least one of his followers, Simon the Zealot, had a great amount of political ambitions throughout most of his life. And human nature being what it is, I could picture Simon talking to Jesus perhaps in this manner. You know, Jesus, if we just get all the people who believe in you to vote for the right guy in Galilee, boy, the doors would really swing open, and then your popularity would grow, and people would just turn to you like there was no tomorrow, and the kingdom of God would advance so swiftly and surely. And Jesus, hearing that, might say, yeah, right. Knowing the hearts of people and how the good news of God's kingdom would go forward through the Lord in some very hostile opposition. But sometimes I've prayed that way. I've thought, well, if just the right people would serve in government, then most of the problems I have would be over. But when the Lord talks to us through his word, he points out most of the problems that we have that are fairly significant, we bring upon ourselves from our own turning away from Christ. And the church I served in previously was in a relatively small town, not a lot of population there, so there was only so many people to go around. And so in the church that I served, the mayor of the town would come, and he was an active member, committed Christian. So was the local tax collector. So were two members of the school board, and the principal of the high school, and the president of the local town council. And they were all there in the church, committed Christians following Christ. And one man thought about that one time in our church, and he made the comment, boy, with all these Christians in office, we can control the whole town, he said. We all laughed, and then we turned red with embarrassment, and we began to pray, Lord, deliver us from ourselves. Do you vote as a person because you want power? Or do you vote as a person because you want to serve Christ better by how you vote? And there's a big world of difference in terms of the attitude that you bring to any kind of governing situation. Sometimes that comes into the church itself. I know folks who really love to follow Christ and serve in the church simply because they want to give praise to God and help others. And I know people who follow the Lord and become church members because they want to influence, you know, what's going on, and have a measure of power in that way. And it's a world of difference, the two end results of those things. And often it translates itself to government we have around us. God's word says this: do not put your trust in princes, in mortal men who cannot save. That would be either in ourselves or even in the qualified, intelligent public servant that's running for office. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortal men who cannot save, but rather blessed is he whose hope is in the Lord. That's a person who's really going to experience something beyond what humanity can bring. Jesus said in terms of keeping the government of the Lord and the government of humanity in balance, he said, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, give to God what is God's. And while we do that, we got to make sure we trust God and not Caesar. See, because Caesar will disappoint. And Caesar can only do so much in terms of a life that can be changed. So what does the Bible have to say about God and human government? The world around us would say pretty much, well, God really doesn't have anything to do with human government. You can believe whatever you want to believe on a Sunday morning. You can sing all you want to sing, pray all you want to pray, preach all you want to preach. But don't bring that into the public arena, and certainly don't bring that into any discussion of human governing or into the voting booth at all. It has nothing to do, one has nothing to do with the other. And a lot of times we swallow that, and that's not what God's word would tell us. Jesus would tell us in his word that he is in the voting booth. I don't know if you ever thought of that. It used to be a booth, now it's a little in front of the computer screen there. It's a major adjustment for the non-computer competent folk like myself. But Jesus is there when we vote. And why is that? Because God's word says, don't my presence fill heaven and earth? So the Lord is right there with us as we vote. You know, we vote in relative privacy, and that's kind of a blessing. When you and I go to the voting area, at that point, our political parties, we leave them behind. You know, they're done influencing us. The candidates, they've spoken to us many, many times. And their influence is over. And it's just you in the freedom that God has given you, freedom of conscience, with the influence of Christ next to you. And now you're truly free to vote, to turn to God and say, Lord, you could pray Psalm 23, Lord, you're my shepherd. Shepherd is one who guides and leads. And lead me in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake as I vote. Help me to vote as if I'm voting for somebody that you would choose, Lord. Lord, could you give me the privilege and honor of voting according to your will and your way? It could be a holy act, an offering to God, as has already been given in song and in prayer and in vote. God says, whatever you do in the Bible, Colossians chapter 3, in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So your vote is just as important to the Lord as your prayer or your song, or how you work this week on the job, or how you relate it to the people around you. All of life is lived before the Lord in that way. And only Jesus sees what we do in secret. I know couples who, their spouses, they won't even tell their spouse who they voted for. I guess it would cause an argument. But I know that the Lord knows who we vote for. And so he wants to encourage and guide and lead, and we yield to him when we do that. Lord, help me to vote for the candidate of your choice. We would be delighted to do so. And that means we really follow our heart's allegiance in voting. And a lot of times that's very difficult to do. I remember the first election I voted in, it was way back before some of you were born, when President Carter was elected, and the other fellow running was President Ford. He was serving right after President Nixon. And I remember thinking, well, I've heard those two guys that, you know, some of their policies are different, but Lord, help me do the right thing when I vote. I want to vote in a way that would bring honor to yourself and would help us. And for some of the other offices, I was clueless in terms of who they were and what they stood for. And sometimes I simply won't vote if there's Joe's running against Mary for the dog catcher or whatever. And I don't know anything about him. I just won't vote. Because I don't know how to honor God when my mind doesn't understand what's happening. But when we vote, to vote as Christ would lead us, Lord, help us to seek first your kingdom, your righteousness, as we vote. Help our primary allegiance be to you. More so than how we were raised. A lot of times however we were raised, that's what we pick up in terms of what's important. And we just put that into the way we get involved in praying and voting for folks around us. But the Lord would want to be the primary influence in that area of life. not to be separated from Him. If it's separated from Him, it'll be an area of expression of sin. We'll be trusting in ourselves or trusting in humanity, and that won't give us peace in our hearts or peace around us. So we vote, as it were, the values of Christ, Christ's ways. Otherwise, we'll vote for our own selfish priorities. When Paul was correcting one of his favorite churches in Philippians, he said, everybody looks out for their own interests, not those of Christ. We don't want that to be the summary of your voting record. Well, he voted his own interest. He had no interest in what Christ was interested in when it came to voting. You know, that would be like, that would be a sin at that point. And to vote as we follow the Lord, and to vote according to God's word, what He puts as very important. I'll give you four examples that I picked out that I thought are real critical, that have been helpful to Christians throughout history, and have done so conscientiously, not with a quest for power, but with a quest to serve God and their folks around them. God's word, for example, promotes action on behalf of the poor. God is into that. He's on a mission for that. All the prophets of the Old Testament, they say, don't put your trust in yourself or what you have. Help the widow, help the orphan, help those who have needs. And so, as you listen to people, you say, now who has a heart to that? Because that's something God has a heart for. And so you move in that end. I think in the Old Testament, Joseph, who was called the Prince of Egypt in a recent popular film, he was put in Egypt, and Egypt wasn't a country that had any respect for God at all. You know, it wasn't a Christian nation or a nation who only believed in one true God or anything like that. But Joseph served in that government that was corrupt and had all kind of morality problems and all that other stuff. But Joseph was there. He served God. And when a big famine was coming, God motivated him to influence the nation. Let's put aside some things so when hard time comes, we could help the surrounding peoples through the famine. Okay, excellent example how God used a person who cared about people in need to make the connection. And God was honored through that. And even in the Christian Missionary Alliance, when we give to missions, which is a missionary going and telling someone about Christ overseas, 10% of that goes to Compassion and Mercy Associates. That again, shows a commitment to physical needs, as the book of James would say. I can't say God bless you, and if you're hungry, you know, pat you on the head and say, well, I hope you get a meal somewhere, somehow. That we're to make the connection with the physical need that is there, and then say, here's how the Lord will bless you. Christ would be your Savior. So it's action on behalf of the poor is a big one. Voting for wars that have a just cause. That's a scary thing to do because you have to pray, okay, how can we follow God when it comes to conflict, life and death conflict? So serious. Every military chaplain prays through that one. And and when we need help with that, look at other Christian writers like Augustine. He had a whole theory on what a just war was. And we pray, Lord, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven when it comes to our country being in conflict. Help us, because we're blind otherwise. God's word promotes, for example, sanctity of marriage. Marriage is a blessing from God. You know, it's not a necessary inconvenience for cohabitation to go well. It is a blessing from God that two would be made one. Man and woman coming together to be one. And you say, now who's all for that in terms of those who are running for office? You know, is that important to them? And so I want to be directed by God's word in that area. God's word being pro-life, valuing life from the time that it begins, you know, even before birth. The Lord's words for that. You want to say, I want to listen to who is for that. Who has that as being really important to them? Well, the Lord's for that, so I want to be for somebody who is going to promote that, because that'll be a way to put Christ first in the voting booth. And a lot of times, our challenge as God's people is to humble ourselves before God. As you know, the Lord told Solomon, who was a king, he said, "This is what the people need to do if you really want to follow God's ways: humble ourselves, pray, seek God's face, turn from our sinful ways." I don't think we shouldn't. Somebody said, "Don't wait for America to repent," because America waits for the church to repent. You know, if Christians repent and turn to God, then it'll be a blessing for the nation in terms of how we look at governing. And as we vote, that leads us to pray, leads us to pray for wisdom, leads us to pray for the candidates running. Something I don't do, which I really should do more often, is pray for those who serve already. You know, how last time I prayed for the senators of Pennsylvania? Can I name them? Yes, I can. You know, when's the last time I prayed for them? If I could include them on my at-home prayer list, God would help our state. As we humble ourselves and pray and ask Him to give His direction. Did you know, for example, that those who serve in public office are called God's servant? Well, people around church life, sometimes when they want to say something about the pastor, they say, he's a God's servant, so he's a minister, he does that. But in the Bible, not only is the pastor called that, but all of God's people are called that. And also those who serve in public office are called God's servant. Paul said that in Romans 13, and he was in a very, you know, ungodly government in Rome. But he said, give that respect to God's servant. In Romans chapter 13, he said, the one who serves, he is God's servant to do you good. That's good news. And then a little later he said, he is God's servant to punish the wrongdoer. So there's some sense that evil will be checked by those who come to serve. And then if the Lord wouldn't challenge us to go the extra mile, that's for sure, in our faith, he said, that is why you pay taxes, because they are God's servant. And the Lord went on to say in the same Bible verse, if you owe someone respect, give honor, and pay taxes. The Lord puts taxes in the same line as honor and respect. It's like, Lord, why would you do that? Why would you push our hearts so much? But the Lord wants us to have a heart that ultimately is confident in Him. God will give us the direction we need through the people that are elected. The Bible says, pray for those who govern, because God wants all people everywhere, to be saved. So you mean my sharing the gospel has to do with my prayer life for those who serve in office? Yeah. According to God's word. I know even if I talk to my family on my side and in-laws on my wife Regina's side, sometimes we'll talk about who's running for office and those who govern, and I'll get real argumentative, you know, like I know everything about everybody. That's the preacher's disease. And it'll cause a problem in our family. But if I have an attitude that is more biblical, that says, you know, whoever comes to serve, we're going to thank God for them. And we're going to pray for them. And nobody wants to argue at that point. Whether they want to participate is another question. Prayer, voting leads to prayer. Because God wants all people everywhere to be saved. There are people in public office who turn to God and actually, in a real strong way, use their office to honor Christ. Back in quite a while ago again, when Jimmy Carter was president, he would have heads of state come to visit the White House. Particularly he did this with the Latin American presidents one time. He had them sit in a big circle, and he had a Bible on each chair, and they all got a Bible, and he said, okay, turn to Philippians chapter 1. They said, Philippians chapter 1, what is that? And somebody would help them turn to the page, and it was just like a Sunday school class. He said, we're going to go around, and we're going to read one verse at a time. Picture all these leaders of nations doing this. So they read one verse at a time, and then the president says, now, I want you to tell me what this means to you. You know, he's wanting God to impact their heart in some manner. God can change people's hearts as they serve in public office to get people to be more fair, more just, more concerned for those who have huge needs. Some people turned to the Lord in office when James Baker was the Secretary of State in the late 1980s. He became a Christian. At first he didn't believe in Christ. No, that doesn't have nothing to do with my life or what I'm doing. His dear wife, who prayed for him, he lost his first wife through cancer. It was a bad thing. He married again. And this wife, second wife, loved the Lord and would pray for him. And he became a Christian. He really was instrumental in some of the negotiations with the former Soviet Union as they were making that traumatic transfer from what they were to more independent states. And God works through people in government in ways that honor himself. And if we have a godly, biblical attitude about it, then it'll add light, the light of Christ, the salt of Christ, to an otherwise a situation that could become as corrupt as anything else, as corrupt as religion, we might say. Oh, that one. We need the Lord's light and truth in those areas. So when we go into the voting booth, I want to say that there will be one vote that definitely will be taking place, not just in the booth, but in your life. Jesus will be voting. And the Bible says there's election that he runs. And you know who he votes for? He votes for you. He votes for you to follow him. He votes for you to believe in him. He votes for you to become a child of his. I could be a child of God. That's how he votes. And whether you say, yeah, I'll vote that way too, with my heart, with my life, with all my mind, soul, and strength. Say, I'll vote that Jesus is Lord, King of kings, Lord of lords. For people in serving government office, terrific. For your soul and eternal destiny, definitely yes. With him. He desires all people everywhere to be at peace with God. Well, let's pray and ask for God's help in days ahead. Father in heaven, thank you for reaching out to us in election, as you would call some to yourself. Jesus, you even said, I chose you. And we're very overwhelmed by that. And ask, dear Jesus, that you would guide us to say that Jesus is Lord in all areas of our life, in our thoughts, our words, our attitudes towards those who govern. And when we vote, might we picture you beforehand in the voting booth. You'll be helping us out, Father, giving us discernment. You'll be, above all, giving us a heart of prayer, and might believers be the most respectful, truthful, full of grace people when it comes to issues of government and voting for those who serve. We need your help. We need your mercy as a people. And we're confident, Father, that you'll send the people we need to honor and serve you. Our trust is in you ultimately. So be sovereign in the situation. You'll raise up and you'll put in place those who you have meant to serve. Thank you for including us in that process. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.